From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. In this part of the program, we're going to learn about one American weapon that troops are using in Iraq, a weapon that some say is too powerful for the situation there. Before we hear about the AC-130 gunship, a quick rundown of the day's developments.
A bomb blast in a government office in Baghdad left 6 people dead and at least 18 wounded. Among those hurt in the blast was Iraq's vice president, Adel Abdel Mahdi, and the minister for public works. Both of them are Shiites. The bombing occurred in a predominantly Sunni district of the capital.
Iraq's cabinet approved a draft oil law that will now be sent to parliament. The law was drafted after months of talks involving representatives of the Shiite, Sunni, and Kurdish communities. It's aimed at regulating contracts for oil exploration and extraction and ensuring that revenues are split equitably among the different sectarian communities. The Iraqi government praised the new draft law, but it's expected to provoke heated debate when Parliament returns from recess later this month.
Reinforced U.S. and Iraqi troops are continuing operations aimed at curbing sectarian warfare in Baghdad. While the focus is on ground operations, there's also an aerial component to the security push, and it includes one of the most fearsome tools in the U.S. arsenal. During the Vietnam War, it was known as Puff the Magic Dragon. Today, it's more commonly called the Spectre Gunship. The Air Force AC-130 warplane is basically a flying battleship, bristling with Gatling guns and cannon. Every night, 3 of these planes circle high above Iraq, waiting to come to the rescue of American troops. But there are concerns that it is not the right weapon for Iraq's largely urban fight. Critics say its overwhelming firepower can lead to mistakes and civilian casualties. From Baghdad, NPR's Tom Bowman reports.
It's late at night, a time when many are calling it quits. The air crew pile on board a bus, 12 men and 2 women, tossing aside bags that hold helmets, survival vests, sandwiches. They have a few minutes to relax before their all-night mission, providing covering fire for American Green Berets and Iraqi troops on a raid in southern Baghdad.
Hey guys, if you didn't catch it, we're fine with Gunny.
Woo! Hi, Gunny!
Welcome back!
Moments earlier, they were sitting on folding metal chairs. All the men and women in this room are members of the Special Forces. Military rules dictate we not use their full names. Their navigator, Captain Dan of Corvallis, Oregon, briefs them on the mission.
We'll be working with them to make sure that the objective area is clear of insurgent activity. And our primary job is just, we're their big flying insurance policy. If they get into trouble, we take care of business.
That's what you dug up?
Back on the bus, they stop at a darkened airfield. Looming in front of them is the gunship, a 4-engine propeller plane. 3 large guns poke out of the left side like tree limbs. On one side of this charcoal-gray cargo plane is painted a pale apparition with fierce eyes. It is a symbol of the Ghost Riders, the 4th Special Operations Squadron. The propellers churn as the crew board the plane. They pull on their helmets and equipment and head to their stations. It's nearly pitch black, except for the eerie glow of small green cabin lights. The gunners amble to the rear, checking their weapons and the tall trays of shells behind them. Inside a small cramped room, a half dozen others hunch over computer screens. The screens show pictures from sensors and TV cameras. They can peer into the night, picking up the body heat of anyone who moves on the ground. People down below appear on the screen as milky figures moving against a gray background. The plane lumbers off the runway and arcs toward Baghdad. The gunship is among the most formidable in the American arsenal. Air Force officers say it is accurate and deadly. Several nights earlier, it flew in long, slow circles above the city of Ramadi. Marines were under fire from insurgents. The gunship spotted the fighters against the cover of a wall. Within seconds, the insurgents disappeared in puffs of smoke. Colonel Steve Clark is commander of all special operations aircraft in the region. He says Iraqi detainees have a name for this high-flying weapon. They call it the Spitting Witch.
What the gunship's able to do is sit over top of a target for an extended period of time, and through a combination of multiple sensors, radios, weapons, and a large ammo load, really be able to dominate the battle space.
Critics point to the damage caused by the AC-130. The gunship was used in the city of Fallujah during an offensive by Marines in the spring of 2004, resulting in some civilian deaths. Human rights groups say the gunship might be effective against large formations of troops in the field, but is too risky in a crowded city like Baghdad. where tightly packed houses line narrow streets. Thousands of feet in the sky, it may be hard to distinguish civilian from insurgent. Colonel Clark disagrees. He says the plane's weapons are accurate, and the smaller rounds do not have explosive power, like, say, a large bomb. The tough part is for the crew to determine which weapon to use to stop the enemy while protecting innocent life.
So they're very discriminating in the amount of munitions they use, which is why we'll tend to go down to the smaller ones and try to break contact rather than killing the enemy, is just to break contact. So we'll shoot in the middle of the road and try to chase them away, if you will.
But even the military's own counterinsurgency manual, co-authored by General David Petraeus, now the top American commander in Iraq, says in fighting insurgents, air power should be used with exceptional care. Air attacks are more likely to lead to civilian casualties, the manual says, mistakes that can enrage the very people the military is trying to separate from the insurgency. Still, the Air Force is bringing more warplanes to Iraq. The tank-killing A-10 is heading to Anbar province. F-15 attack aircraft recently strafed buildings along Haifa Street in Baghdad. And the B-1 bomber started flying missions last month, the first time since the start of the war. On the AC-130, the gunners fire the Gatling gun on the desert range far below. It's called tweaking the weapon. Then it's time for the big cannon in the back. That metallic chunk is the sound of a 105-millimeter howitzer, an onboard cannon that fires shells the size of a log in your fireplace. The AC-130 arrives over the southern Baghdad neighborhood. The computer screens show a honeycomb of houses. Suddenly, a long line of Humvees rolls down a main road. Soldiers spill out. Ghostly white forms surge into a house. Inside the plane's cramped quarters, Major Chris of Houston, Texas, watches it all on her computer screen. She's a fire control officer. She decides which guns will be used in a fight.
Got the buckets.
Yep.
Big building.
They check the live picture with several maps stamped secret. The targets are circled in red, and each contains a number. On the ground, an Air Force combat controller is equipped with a backpack radio. He keeps in constant touch with the AC-130, just in case. Over the next 2 hours, the plane's sensors and cameras zero in on each house. The white forms knock down gates or doors. One person, then others, can be seen pulled from houses and placed in Humvees.
It's mighty easy to get confused with 2,000 houses that all look the same.
But on this night, there is no confusion and no shooting. No one flees from a house. No one targets the American or Iraqi forces. The plane lumbers toward its base. On this night, the witch did not spit. The plane lands as the sun peaks over the horizon. They once again board the bus. Major Chris says it was an unusually quiet night for the crew, but the ground troops completed their mission. Back at their headquarters, the AC-130 crew shred their secret maps. It's their sixth mission in 7 days. Some collapse onto folding chairs. An exhausted crew member turns to another. She says, "Any day we don't shoot is a good day." Tom Bowman, NPR News, Baghdad.